Worship you. How majestic is your name in all of the earth. And who are we that you would be mindful of us, Lord, that at the perfect time you would leave your throne in heaven and come and walk amongst us to show us the truth and to ultimately give your life for us. Jesus, we worship you. You are worthy of our praise, and all of our hope is in Christ alone.
Found. He is my light, my strength,
my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you that as we come this morning, our hope is, our confidence is that we can stand in Christ alone, not in our performance, not in our achievements, not in our good works, not in anything else, but we can put our confidence and have confidence in Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. And we pray that as we open your word, that you would teach us this morning. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? This morning, we are going to start a journey through a new book, the book of Acts. So if you have your program, those first few paragraphs of the book of Acts are on there. You can open to Acts chapter 1 in your Bible. Our regular practice at Open Arms is to take a book of the Bible and to start at the beginning and week by week, chapter by chapter, walk through that book and try to understand together what God's message is for us. Now, there's not just one book. The Bible's not just one book. It's actually a collection of 66 books. And so we choose different books in different places. In Acts, this is in the second part of the Bible called the New Testament. The New Testament picks up when Jesus is born and talks about what Jesus did and what those early followers did. And the book of Acts is full of true stories of what happened right after Jesus left the earth. Jesus left, and his followers kept following, and the book of Acts tells us what happened. Now, there's two things that are going to be really helpful for us as we start this journey through the book of Acts, and we're going to need to keep these in mind for the next weeks and months. Two truths, two aspects of the book of Acts. Here's the first one, that as we read this, Jesus, we're not going to see Jesus walking around, talking in the flesh like we do in the other, like the biographies of Jesus, John, Luke, Mark, Matthew. We're not going to see Jesus. We're going to see men, people. Peter is a main character. Paul is a main character. It's going to be tempting for us, though, to look at the book of Acts and say, well, this is full of acts that men did. This is men at work. We saw Jesus at work earlier. Now we're going to see his followers at work. And while that's somewhat true, what we need to understand is the book of Acts ultimately is a book that shows us God at work. God at work is what he's doing through his people. And we're going to see that on page after page. The book of Acts ultimately is God continuing his work on the earth. Now there's a second thing that we're going to need to understand as we start the book of Acts. And the reality is that the book of Acts is a description of what happened after Jesus left. It's not a prescription for what should always happen today in the church. It's descriptive. It describes what happened. It's in many ways a book of history that shows us what happened. But it doesn't mean that everything in the book of Acts is something that God's going to do today all the time or that we should do all the time. It's descriptive, not necessarily prescriptive. Let me give you a couple of examples. Next week, later in chapter 1, we're going to see that the apostles, the early followers, to make a decision, what they did is they cast lots. Maybe in today's language, we would say they rolled the dice. Literally. They said, Lord, show us what to do. So the way we're going to know what you want us to do, God, is if the dice comes up 1, 2, or 3, we'll do this. If the dice rolls and lands on 4, 5, or 6, we'll do this. Now, that's a description of what they did. That's not a prescription for what we should always do. How we make decisions as individuals and even as a church, we don't roll the dice today. Now, you say, but it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. They did that in the Bible, so we should do it. Well, see, remember, the book of Acts is descriptive. It's not prescriptive, telling us what we should always do. In fact, we don't see that anywhere else in the New Testament where they made decisions that way. Another example we're going to see in a couple weeks. God worked in that first group of his followers, of Jesus' followers, after Jesus left. God worked, and he helped them to speak in languages that they never studied. They never studied, they never reviewed flashcards, they never went over grammar, they never took classes in these languages, but God, in a moment, helped them all to speak in different languages that other people understood. Every single one of them. There's like 120, and they all spoke in different languages. Now, that describes what happened, but it's not a prescription for what should always happen with every group of believers after that. Now, can God do that? Yes, he can. Can God help a believer to speak in a language that they've never learned, never studied? I remember praying that on several trips to Burkina Faso. I said, Lord, I've tried to study Jula. I've tried to study French. It would be so nice if you would just give me that gift. I know you can do it, Lord. But see, just because it's there in the book of Acts doesn't mean it's always going to happen, that God's always going to work in that same way. going to be real important for us to keep that in mind as we go through the book of Acts. We're going to see that, mention that several times as we go through. But the book of Acts is not just a history lesson. The book of Acts shows us what God's mission is, how God works. And how God works, we're going to see the big picture week after week, that God works through his people to make Jesus known to the end of the earth. That's what we're going to see him do in the book of Acts. And you know what? It's what he still does. Even in our midst, he works through his people to make Jesus known to the world. So let's start at the beginning. We're going to read verse 1 through 11. In a lot of ways, verses 1 through 11, it's helpful to us because it's an introduction. The author is introducing us to his book, to what he's going to do here in this book. So it's going to be helpful as we start our journey. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Start with verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, they were angels, and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So these first 11 verses are an introduction to the book of Acts. Well, one of the things that we see is this book is a sequel. Did you see that in that first verse? This is a sequel. This is the second book. Because he talks about in verse 1, the first book. The author says that he wrote a first book that shared all that Jesus taught and did. So there was a first book, the biography of Jesus. The first book is the book of Luke. So Luke is the author of Acts. He wrote the book of Luke that describes God at work when Jesus was on the earth. But the sequel here in the book of Acts talks about God at work through his followers after Jesus left the earth. And these first few verses, the first five verses really, are the cliff notes of the book of Luke. He's like a good author. He's telling you what he told you. He's summarizing the book of Luke in these first five verses, talking about, "I told you what Jesus taught. I told you what Jesus did. I told you that Jesus suffered, that he rose, that he went into heaven." So he's reviewing what he had said in the book of Luke. And really, the center of this passage is verse 8. Verse 8 is the center of this passage, and really, verse 8 is an outline of the rest of the book of Acts. Verse 8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So there's three realities of God at work, of God working in these verses, of how God's going to work in Acts and how he still works today. Here's the first reality of God at work. God's at work through his people. God's at work through his people. That's what we're going to see in the book of Acts. And that's what we see today. God still works in that way. He works through his people. Did you see the beginning of verse 8? Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." I'm going to use you, he says, to share with other people what I've done. God works through his people. Now, to understand the impact of this, we need to back up a little bit in verse 6. What was on the apostles' mind, this last encounter with Jesus before he goes into heaven to reign? You wonder what they're thinking in this moment. And the helpful thing is, we know what they're thinking because we see what they said in verse 6. Did you see that? They ask him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Lord, are you going to work and restore everything the way it should be?" Now, these apostles, these followers, where they were standing, we didn't read the verse, but in verse 12, the very next verse, it tells us that they were on the Mount of Olives. It was a hill that kind of overlooked Jerusalem. They were on the Mount of Olives. Now, what's significant about that is earlier in the Bible, there was a prophecy, there was a promise that the Messiah, the Christ, his feet would stand on the Mount of Olives and he would fight the enemies of God's people and he would restore the former glory of Israel. And even better than that. Now, that had to have been on their minds. They're standing on this Mount of Olives. Jesus has come back to life. Here's the Messiah. His feet are standing on the Mount of Olives. And they ask him, "Is this the time? Is this the time you're going to fight? Is this the time you're going to work, Jesus?" And what happens? They say, "God, Jesus, is this what you're going to do?" And what does Jesus do? He leaves. He leaves, but he tells them, he gives them directions. In essence, he's saying, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to restore the kingdom of Israel, but it's not for you to know the time. It's not yet. I'm leaving. I'm going to do that, but in the meantime, I'm going to give you something to do." Do you see that contrast? Their hopes of almost like, here we go, Jesus is going to do it. And Jesus says, "Well, here I go, but here you go. I'm going to send you." That contrast. And you almost wonder if, as Jesus was going up into the clouds, where what was part of what was going on in their hearts, watching him go into the sky, going, we thought he was gonna do it. He was gonna make everything right. He was gonna bring peace. And he leaves. My first job when I moved to this area was at the YMCA. The YMCA used to be downtown. They had a men's residency not too far from Schenectady Community College, right before you go over the bridge to Scotia. So my first job was part-time, and when I got to the area, part-time, and I was hired as a case manager. To give you a little context, I had been to college, and my major, what I had studied, was classical piano. So now I'm a part-time case manager. My major was not, my minor wasn't even in social work. But now I'm a case manager at the YMCA. Excited about it, clueless about it. First day on the job, I go to the morning meeting. Every morning we'd have a meeting in an office, and there'd be 6 or 7 staff. So we met that morning. They read some of the reports from the night before, what happened in the men's residency, and talked about the day ahead. And so the meeting was over. We left the office. There was another case manager who did have a degree in something other than classical piano. He had a degree in, I think, social work-related things, and he had worked there for many years. He was seasoned. He was going to be my trainer. He was going to be my supervisor. So we left the office and we're in the lobby, and he turns to me and he says, "Don't worry about figuring out the job. The job will find you." And he left. No, he lifted himself up the stairs to his second floor office, and I was standing in the lobby. And I was thinking to myself, uh-oh. Right? I had no idea, not just what to do at that job, but how to do the job. You wonder if that was a little bit of the emotion of the apostles. Uh-oh. As they're gazing, watching Jesus go into the clouds. But see, Jesus, we see in these verses, he wasn't leaving them on their own. He wasn't just saying, "Here's an assignment, good luck, do your best, you'll get a grade at the end." What does he say? Even before he tells them they're going to be his witnesses, what does he say to them in verse 8? "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." See, Jesus wasn't leaving them on their own. Jesus was leaving, his body was leaving, but what he was promising was that he would send his Spirit that would give them strength, that would give them, what's the word here in verse 8, power, that would give them wisdom, that would give them guidance. He wasn't telling them to be his witnesses in their own strength, in their own power. He said he was going to be with them. He was going to work through them to be his witnesses. And what we see, that's what we're going to see unfold in the book of Acts. Amazing things. When we step back and think about it, these are the men who ditched Jesus in the garden when he was arrested. They left. They ran. They were scared. They weren't bold. But what we're going to see in the book of Acts is these same men, these fishermen, many of them, standing in front of leaders and rulers who could have them killed, and speaking boldly about Jesus. There was a shift, and it wasn't because they had changed. It was because Jesus had sent his Spirit, and they had a power and a strength that wasn't their own. We're going to see that time after time. We're going to see that unfold. But that's not just how God works in the book of Acts. That's how God works today. You know, he gives us a mission to be his witnesses, but he doesn't give us that mission to accomplish it on our own. He comes to help us, his Spirit in us. The Bible says Christ in us, to help us to be his witnesses. The good news is, too, that thankfully, we don't have to go to Jerusalem. We don't all have to go to Jerusalem and wait and stay there until we're baptized by the Holy Spirit, until we get this extra power. It's not a location that, or even a date, that a later date that we get that power. See, the Bible, on this side of the book of Acts, the Bible says that now, since the Holy Spirit did come, and we'll see that in a couple weeks, that all those who hear this witness of Jesus and believe, that at that moment, they are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Says that in Ephesians 1. That we, when we believe in Jesus, when we understand what he has done by dying for our sin, when we surrender our life to him, when he gives us new life, he also gives us his Spirit in that moment. We don't wait for 40 days. We don't wait for a future date. That he gives us his Spirit to change us and to help us to accomplish this mission at that moment. And he helps us to do what he calls us to do. Now, today, many of us, maybe all of us, we can be troubled by what's going on in our world. There's so many things to fix in our world, isn't there? There's politics, there's economics, there's epidemics, so many icks to be fixed. And we may look and we may say, when, and we may feel what these apostles felt. When, like, is God going to work? Is God going to work and fix this? Is he going to fix the world? Is he going to fix what's wrong, what I see on my newsfeed? Is God going to work? And what this passage tells us is yes, yes, one day Jesus' feet will stand again on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to fight and he's going to make everything right. He's going to come back for his people, those who trust in him. He's going to judge those who don't trust in him. He's going to make everything right. Yes, he's going to. But until then, how God works is through us to make Jesus known. In between this point of Acts chapter 1 and the day when Jesus comes back, which it says the angel said that he was going to come back just like he left, in between those days, the way God is working, the primary God, way God is working is through us, through his people, to make him known. But God is working. He is working. Even though the world's broken, he's working his plan. He has a mission, and his plan is to use us to make him known. You may be here today, and you may not be a follower of Jesus. And some of why you aren't following Jesus at this point or haven't trusted him is because you look at your life and you say, I just don't see God at work. God's not working in my life. God is ignoring me. That I've got things that have happened in my life. I got things that are happening in my life. I got scars, I got wounds, I got wrongs that I've done. And I just think God, he's ignoring me. He's left me. I don't see him working. What we learn in this passage is that if someone has told you about Jesus, if someone has, invited you here this morning because they want you to hear about Jesus, if you're here this morning hearing about Jesus, what you need to understand from these verses right here that we're looking at is that God is working in your life. That if someone is telling you, has told you, is telling you, if you're hearing today about Jesus, God is working. Because it's not that person. It's not me this morning. It's God working through his people to help you to know about Jesus. It's very personal. You know, we need to sense the very personal nature of this. If someone has told you about Jesus, you know who's behind that? Jesus, God, pursuing you. It may not look like God is working. Maybe, you know, sometimes we have expectations that if God was working, he would do this. But what this passage says is this is how God works. He shares, he uses his people to make Jesus known. Very personal, God pursuing. It's so important to him that he personally accompanies his people to make Jesus known. He's right on the scene. He's right behind the words. He's right behind the person. He's working through his people to make him known. That's how God works in the book of Acts. That's how God works today. There's a second reality we're going to see. We see in these verses, we're going to see in the book of Acts, we see today, God works, here's number two, God works through his people to make Jesus known. Said that a few times, but God works through his people, specifically to make Jesus known. There's this word in verse 8, witnesses. Did you see that? Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. Real important word, because it's going to show up over and over again in Acts, witnesses. 39 times, I think, in the book of Acts, we're going to see this. Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses. Now, that word means pretty much how we use that word in our world today. You know, you have key witnesses that are called to take the stand in the courtroom. Key witnesses. Why are they key witnesses? Why are they witnesses? Well, it's not necessarily because they're super educated. Not necessarily because they're super, super smart. Not necessarily because they're lawyers, probably not lawyers. They're witnesses because they saw something. They may not even know the person, but they saw something, and so they're called to the stand to witness to that, to testify to what they have seen. That's exactly what the word means here. That's what he's saying to his apostles. He's saying literally, like, you've seen me with your eyes. You've seen what I've done. What I'm calling you to do, he's telling those people on that hill that day, I'm calling you to go and tell people what you have seen, what you have heard, what I've done, he says. Now, there's a few key things, even in this passage, that Luke helps us to remember. What has Jesus done? Look at verse 3. He, Jesus, presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs. He presented himself alive to them, the ones he's telling to go witness, to testify. He suffered. They saw him suffer. They saw his perfect life. They walked with him. They followed him. They saw what he said, how he acted, and they saw his suffering. And then, after he died, they saw him alive. They witnessed that with their eyes. And then here on this day, on that hillside, they saw him go up into heaven to reign. They saw that. And so what Jesus is telling them, go tell people what you've seen. Be my witnesses. Represent to other people what you've seen me do. And we're going to see that over and over in the book of Acts. In fact, about one-third of this book, 28 chapters, about one-third of the content are quoted sermons, speeches, these witnesses preaching, telling people what they had seen, telling people what Jesus has done, and calling people to join them in trusting Jesus, even though they hadn't seen it. They were Jesus' witnesses. Now, we are in a little bit different position because none of us probably have seen, like with our eyes, Jesus. We didn't see him on the cross when he was suffering. We didn't see him in flesh and bone in those days when he was on the earth. We didn't see him go into heaven. We didn't see that. So our witness is a little different, but thankfully what God has done is he had those key witnesses write down what they saw. Which is a huge reason why we do this every Sunday when we get together. We're hearing what these witnesses saw. They saw it with their eyes. They heard it with their ears. And so our witness, what we are doing is we are passing on the witness that we have heard and that we see and that we have in our hands. We are passing on this witness of what Jesus did. Our message is not ultimately to make open arms known. That's not our purpose as a church. Our purpose as individuals is not to make known what we have done for God. It's not to make known what we think about God. Our purpose is to make known what Jesus did. Jesus. That's our message, to pass on this witness that we have about what Jesus did. And here's what's so important for us, because this can get confused. We can get confused as we share this, as we hear this message of Jesus. Listen, what we are to make known is not what others are supposed to do to please God so that he will accept them. That's not the message. The message is not, let me tell you about what the Bible says. You need to do this, and you need to do that, and you need to do that. That's not primarily the message. Because the reality is we haven't done that. We haven't done any of that. The hope is not that we can fix ourselves. You know what the message is that we're to share, that we're to witness of? What Jesus did. What Jesus did, that he suffered for our sin. Because we needed him to. That Jesus rose from the dead, that he went to reign. He's in control right now. Jesus is in control and he's coming back. That's the message, what Jesus has done. Listen, if you're here this morning and somewhere along the line you have collected the perspective, you have the perspective that Christianity is primarily about what you need to do to act right so God will love you. That is not the message of Jesus. The Bible calls it good news, and the good news is, well, the bad news is we can't do it. We can't do it. Even if we could do it from this moment on, everything we're supposed to do, which we can't, even if we could, It wouldn't make up for all the things we've done wrong in the past. The message is not fix your life. The message is not what you need to do. The message of Jesus is about what Jesus did. What Jesus did for us. That he suffered for us. To make a way for us to be forgiven. To make a way for us to be right with God. What we're to witness about is about Jesus. What he did. Now what happens is when we trust Jesus, when we surrender to him, he sends his spirit to live in us and he changes us. And you know what happens? He begins to change our desires and he begins to change our actions and we begin to do different things. But the reason that we do different things as Christians is because of what Jesus did to make us Christians. Our purpose is to make him known. Jesus known. Put him in the center of the stage, of the platform, of the message, to make him known and to make known specifically what he has done. That was the apostles' marching orders. That's our marching orders, to make Jesus known. God works through his people to make Jesus known. Here's the third reality of God at work. God's at work to make Jesus known to the end of the earth. To the whole world, to the end of the earth. Did you see that? The end of verse 8. Look, there's these locations that Jesus names. You're going to be my witnesses, he tells those people on the hill that day. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now they were just a short walk to Jerusalem. That was their home. That was a home base, Jerusalem. He says, you're going to be my witnesses there. Judea was kind of like the county, the small state around Jerusalem. It was the region. Samaria was the other side of the tracks. Growing up, a small town, we had train tracks through the town. And it was literally like the other side of the tracks was like the part of town that you didn't really go to or that you drove around. And then later on, I go older, we moved there because the house was less expensive. Kind of turns itself on its head. But that's what Samaria was. The house, it was on the other side of the tracks. It's the people you don't hang out with. The people that are different. The people that you avoid their neighborhood. Those that are marginalized, the outsiders. Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses there. And then he says, to the end of the earth. Everywhere. The whole world. You're gonna be my witnesses everywhere. Notice it's interesting. It's kind of a command. You know, you will be my witnesses. But Jesus, in many ways, is stating a reality. Hey, this is gonna happen. My spirit's coming, and it's gonna happen. What we see, this is an outline of the book of Acts. Literally, like the first seven chapters, chapters 1-7. We're gonna see them being the witnesses of Jesus in Jerusalem. God at work in Jerusalem through his people. We're going to see that in the first seven chapters. Then in chapter 8, God gives them a nudge, kind of a push. Persecution breaks out, and it says they're scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Interesting. God's at work leading them out of their circle, their home of Jerusalem, out to those other parts, out to the other side of the tracks. And we're going to see that in chapters 8 through 12. This is an outline of what we're going to see. And then, starting in chapter 13, they go to the ends of the earth. Everywhere else. The known world at that time. It's God at work through his people to the end of the earth. What we can be thankful for, what we can be thankful for here is when we realize that we don't live in any of these places that are named, do we? The first places. We don't live in Jerusalem. You know, we don't live in Judea. In fact, we're way past the other side of the tracks. We're on the other side of the world. We're on the other end of the earth. Aren't you thankful that God, his mission was to work through his people to make Jesus known to the end of the earth? That's why we're talking about this today. on the other side of the world. Because through, not just through the book of Acts, but through history, through the many centuries, God has continually been working through his people to make him known to the other sides of the oceans, to people that aren't in Israel. God very personally pursuing us to the other side of the world, making himself known. And in this corner of the earth, where what's on the city limit signs of where we live, it's not Jerusalem, it's Rotterdam, Colony, Schenectady, Duanesburg. We're in our corner of the earth. God's still at work, and his plan is to work through us to make him known in our towns, in our, quote, Jerusalems. And in our region, in the capital region, working through his people who are here and who right now are gathered in other churches throughout the capital district, working through his people to make Jesus known in this corner of the earth. And even to people on, quote, the other side of the tracks, people that talk different, look different, maybe even sometimes smell different, that we, in our instinct, avoid. But God says, no, I'm going to use you, I'm going to empower you to make Jesus known to them. And his plan is to use us to make him known to the ends of the earth. We're on the far corner compared to chapter 1, verse 8. But there's other far corners. There's other far corners that haven't heard yet. And God has sent us. God has sent us to Burkina for many years, to Guatemala. And in future years, God's going to nudge us. He's going to lead us to other corners of the earth. That we make him known, that we witness to what Jesus has done in our circles, in our region, in our corner, and far corners of the world. That's what we see God, how we see God working in Acts, how we're going to see him work in Acts, and how we're going to see him continue to work through us, through his people today. That he would work, he's going to work through us to make Jesus known to the world, to the end of the earth. Let's pray. Jesus, Father, thank you for working through your people to make Jesus known to us in this corner of the world. Thank you for doing that, for pursuing us. Lord, we ask you to work through us to make Jesus known. To our Jerusalem, to our region, to the Samarias around us, and Lord, to corners of the earth that we may not even know the name of at this point. Lord, that you would work through us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, would you stand and worship with us again? Strange and divine, I can see. Thank you for joining us this morning. Have a great rest of your day.